and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Two U.S. citizens are under exit bans by the Chinese government. Correspondent Anna Corrin reports from Hong Kong on what is known about one of them.
A Wells Fargo senior executive, her name is Chen Yu Mao, based in Atlanta, was barred from leaving China in recent weeks. During a briefing with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the spokesperson said that she was involved in a criminal case. They went on to say that she cannot leave the country for the time being.
The U.S. State Department confirms a second U.S. citizen not allowed to exit China is a U.S. Patent and Trademark Office employee. The pilot of a SkyWest passenger jet had to make a sharp turn to avoid an Air Force B-52 bomber flying into its path over North Dakota. Transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve is following up.
A passenger recorded the pilot's announcement after Flight 3788 eventually landed.
Probably saw the airplane kind of sort of coming at us, flipped over and saw the airplane that was kind of coming on in. Converging course with us.
The FAA and Air Force are now investigating. They'll need to go over radar information from the Air Force base, ideally access information on board the plane's black boxes.
The dangerous heat will continue to smother an area from the plains to the southeast, with temperatures ranging from 95 to 105 degrees. CBS News meteorologist Nikki Nolan tells us some of the accompanying humidity will come from a source that might surprise you.
Basically, over like the central Mississippi Valley region is where all of the corn crops are. So basically with these high temperatures, it makes the corn sweat. So all of the crops just sweat and perspirate just like us humans do. But that sweat or just the moisture coming out of the corn is going to evaporate and go into the atmosphere, which is going to increase the humidity.
The Trump administration has released FBI records on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. despite opposition from his family. CBS's Stacey Lynn reports.
In a statement, King's family, who had opposed their release, called their father's case a, quote, captivating public curiosity for decades, and asked those who view them to do so with empathy, restraint, and respect.
Actor and director Malcolm Jamal Warner, best known for his role as young Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show, is dead. He drowned during a family vacation in Costa Rica. His friend and collaborator, artist Kevin Powell, talked about
it. Someone who really cared about a lot of people. He was never someone who was, you know, into the celebrity of it. He knew who he was. Mm-hmm. He knew, you know, that he was America's son. He literally was America's son as the only male child on that historic show, The Cosby Show.
He was 54. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
A 10-game winning streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a series tonight against the Mariners in Seattle, trying to keep a 10-game winning streak alive. Milwaukee beat the Dodgers in L.A. yesterday, 6-5, to move into a tie with the Cubs for first place in their division. The Brewers doing it with a roster of no-name players, according to Pat Murphy.
Monasterio stepping up, getting a huge two-out hit. RBI, Perkins. Perkins literally didn't have spring training. And what can you say about Collins? Collins, Vaughn, and Durbin have given us such a lift, but Collins has been the silent hero. He's played great defense, gotten big hits, hitting fourth in the lineup. The kid wasn't going to make the team in spring training unless there was a huge injury, and there was two of them, but he wasn't making the team. He's hitting fourth in our lineup. Vaughn was in AAA last week and couldn't break the lineup on a last place team. So, you know, we're just really fortunate that these guys are gelling and coming together and just, you know, playing hungry.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plentiful clouds in the overnight and a light breeze with morning lows in the lower 60s. On Tuesday, some showers and storms rolling in, mostly cloudy skies. Highs will top out in the middle 80s, but the heat index will be close to 90. Right now, it's 61.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tomorrow, Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom talks about his new daily newsletter, Below the Beltway, tracking Congress and all things happening in D.C.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
See our nation fraying and fracturing.
This is not normal. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Actually, Maggie's not here. Maggie's up north. She's still camping, and I hope she's having a nice time on this beautiful day. I'm Matt Rothschild subbing in for Maggie, along with Angela Lang from Block, who is usually my co-guest host. We like doing this together. Angela, how are you doing?
I can't complain. Thanks for having me again. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to this all weekend. And same. I'm excited to say we have an in-studio guest right now. His name is the Reverend David Cooper. For folks in Madison, you may know him as Chief Cooper because he was police chief here for many years during the Soglin era, or one of the Soglin eras anyway. Reverend Cooper, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here this evening, and hello to you.
Yeah, Angela's...
Angela out here.
Angela's a terrific activist and a radio talent. So we are interviewing the Reverend Cooper now, Angela, because he has decided himself, and I give him credit for taking the initiative, to announce a rally, a faith-based protest on August 2nd in Madison. So, David Cooper, tell us about that.
Well, this is somewhat of a long story. I'll shorten it as best I can. I got together in my kind of semi-retirement. I still help out at various Episcopal churches around the diocese here, but I've been attending at Holy Wisdom Monastery just outside of Madison here in Middleton area, a place that I've been associated with for over 50 years. In fact, our first police training academy was held out at then St. Benedict Center. And throughout my years in having my staff take retreats, we always went out there for those department retreats, which were really, really, it's a great place.
It is. You know,
very spiritual.
We did a little sanctuary work back in the 80s there at Holy Wisdom. So.
Yes, yes. So those of us who attend the Sunday Assembly, which is a group of about 100 and some people, mainly older. I always say that we're unfortunately white from the front and gray from the back. Mm-hmm. But we have certainly tried through the years to have open doors. They're not under the Diocese of Madison, so they're a separate Benedictine group of which I'm also an oblate. And we started thinking about, you know, we need to make a stand. So we've got Lutherans among us that said, well, we've got Bonhoeffer and we've got We've got Martin Niemöller, who talked about, you know, there's nobody left when they came for us. So let's try to have sort of a confessing statement, and that became Here We Stand. And then the four other people, kind of semi-retired clergy, also academics and teachers, a group of five. People say, well, what shall we call the group? And I said, jokingly, of course, well, let's be the Gang of Five, which will recall us to Maoist days, right? Those of us who are somewhat more aged would remember that. So we brought this and started discussing this, and with a lot of input. And eventually, over the course of two Sundays after worship, we achieved a Quaker-like consensus for this document, and which was a great achievement. I said, you know, herding cats is difficult, but herding real smart cats is really more than difficult. And these are very smart cats. So in our frustration about what to do next, they said, well, you got to get this out. And so press conference, I said, something to me said, you know, talking heads don't do it. We've got to have something. And we're meeting with some other church leaders and kind of like, well, we really should have a newsletter, and maybe we should have some workshops on Christian nationalism and other things that our general position came to seek to, you know, resist government cruelty, covering a whole batch of issues there. So in my frustration, I was walking out to the car, and one of my colleagues, I said, we've got to do something. And he said, well, Dave, it looks like you're just going to have to take up your cross. And I got in my car, and I'm driving home. I said, oh my gosh. I called my friend. We went down to Menards Lumber and got two huge 8-foot by 6-inch posts, and we made this cross, and it weighs 250 pounds.
Well, that's gonna be a lot to carry on. Well, and on August 2nd.
So everybody said, well, who's gonna carry this cross? And I, it was designed so that I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. So we're gonna have to have some help. And then that kind of rolled out. Well, what would that look like? And then I was, I tend to be very impatient. Let's get this going. So we finally negotiated that we'd have a couple of weeks, and we'd talk about this, and kind of where we are right now, where we have invited most all of the various interfaith religious leaders around Madison and some of the key pastors in our area. And we understand that it's difficult. I mean, for Jewish people, it's the Sabbath. It's a Saturday. So we just ask them to pray for us, and should they do something, we would like to be a participant there, perhaps maybe using another symbol would be the cross of David or the Star of David. That would be something we could do.
And the event, just to clarify, is August 2nd, 11 o'clock, starting at Library Mall, right? And yep. Marching up to the Capitol?
Right down the State Lake, and we're gonna drag that cross up there. And they say, well, what if we don't have enough people? And I said, well, we'll just have to stop, rest, and ask some people on the sidewalk, would they come and help us carry it a few more feet? And we'll eventually, you know, get it up to the Capitol. And then the idea came that also that this would be a silent march. We'd just sort of define ourselves from people who say, "Oh, are those Christian nationalists there?" And I would hope that the clergy there would be wearing, you know, vestments and stoles, so we know that usually when the Proud Boys took the cross, they didn't have clergy around helping carry it. So we think it's a visual event that people will remember, and we're talking about things like militarism. We're talking about damage to our climate. We're talking about policies that simply hurt other people, and we are also, you know, talking about this, the whole business about the dismantling step by step of our democracy.
I'm Matt Rothschild with Angela Lang here. We're speaking with Chief David Cooper, Reverend David Cooper. People know him here in Madison. He's always been a bit of a spiritual leader, even when he was police chief. And he's now leading this rally in Madison on August 2nd, this faith-based rally. It resists the policies that harm immigrants, the poor and the vulnerable, and war, militarism, and the use of violence, and resisting Christian nationalism and authoritarianism and the destruction of our environment.
and affirming really great things like truth, democracy, human dignity, world peace, care for the earth. So it's quite a platform. You're getting a little bit of blowback because of the use of the cross. Do you want to counter that?
Yeah, it's difficult because most people say when they see the cross, they're thinking Christian nationalists. And I have to admit that since 2020, I mean, I see the flag, I wonder what that's about. So to use a different symbol that has been, you know, part of Christianity for 2,000 years is going to be really difficult. So what we've tried to do, and I've tried to explain this thing, is you know, the words of Jesus in the gospel talks about, you know, take up your cross and follow me. So we're thinking about, well, what is an individual's cross? What is it? And the way I try to define this, this is your set of everything that's important to you, what you believe in, what you're willing to stand up for, what you're willing to suffer for. And I think I hope we all have that value set that, you know, sort of like, on this we stand and I don't retreat. We used to talk about that in the police department a lot, about what's important, what are we standing up for? You know, what is it that we're not going to retreat from, and what is it that we're going to stand our ground? And so we're trying to seize the cross back and say, look, it's our cross. You want to use it, fine, but this is not what it's all about. You know, it's all about taking care of the vulnerable people, the least among us. You know, it's about what Jesus talked about in the 25th chapter of Matthew, or the great parable about the king. And he said, the king said, well, where, you know, did you take care of me when I was sick, when I was tired, when I was in prison, when I needed help? When was it? And then the king says, well, as you've done to the least of these in my kingdom, you've done to me. So it's kind of a golden rule thing, that which all the world's religions have, one form or another of the golden rule. That would be something we could always come together, no matter what the faith is, and they all say, don't do to others as you would not have them do unto you, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So I think there's a common set. And when we take that common set of all the world's religions, that thing that we call the golden rule, and apply it to what's going on in Washington, it's not right. It's not normal. Something's wrong. And then we're quiet. I don't know the last time I ever saw a bunch of Christians coming together that are progressive. It's generally the more conservative people on issues of abortion or about trans issues or gay issues or something. But it's really not about the fundamental principles of what it is you believe. Who are you?
Yeah, I know there was a little bit of progressive Christian. There was a movement during the LGBT rights movement, during the women's rights movement, certainly during the civil rights movement. You had Martin Luther King marching with Abraham Joshua Heschel and religious leaders across the board. And I'm excited about this rally you have, David Cooper, on August 2nd in Madison at 11 o'clock at Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol to talk about the things that are so out of whack right now with the Trump administration. So scary, frankly. And scary also with the rise of white nationalism. And so it's really important for people to get out and join this protest if you can, if you're in the Madison area, on August 2nd. It's 11 o'clock there at Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol. David Cooper is the former police chief here in Madison. He is an Episcopal reverend and a spiritual leader here in Madison. And we're delighted to have him in the studio here on the Maggie Dawn Show. We've got a commercial break coming up. David, I want you to hang around because I also want your view of what happened in L.A. with the National Guard and with the Marines, who I just understand are leaving L.A. today. It's about time. But you wrote a whole book on this and you practice it when you were a chief. I want to get your sense about what's happening there. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild with Angela Lang and Reverend David Cooper, former police chief here in Madison. We're talking about his rally coming up on August 2nd and about policing in America right now. Stay tuned.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation. Facing addiction? The Wisconsin Addiction Recovery Helpline offers free, confidential support 24/7. Call 211, text your zip code to 898-211, or chat at 211wisconsin.org. Help is waiting. Sponsored by United Way of Wisconsin.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity. Especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow human some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Do you love a good mystery? Want to dive into the minds of those who create them? Tune in to Masters of Mystery on WFHR Sunday, July 27th at 9 p.m. As South African mystery writer Stanley Trollope and New York historical fiction author Anna Maria Alfieri discuss their books, their writing journeys, and perhaps divulge the secrets behind their nefarious plots. Masters of Mystery is recorded before a live audience.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild with my co-host Angela Lang. We have our guest David Cooper in studio. You can join the conversation at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We're broadcast all across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we do have a caller. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Troy, what you got?
Hello. Hello, Reverend and Matt and Angela. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. Thank you. This is amazing. I can't believe you're getting flack about this because these Trumpsters bring out the flag and they bring out their religion all the time, you know, like they're following it. And it's about time we take back the flag, and it's about time we take back the cross. And I'm so glad that you're doing this. And if you're looking for volunteers, I will come and help you carry this cross.
Oh, good. Check in with me a little bit before 11 o'clock, Saturday, August 2nd. Okay. Glad to meet you there. Thank you.
All right,
thank
Troy. Good. Thank you,
Troy.
Sir.
Thanks so much for your call. We really appreciate it. Angela, you had a question for the chief.
Yeah, and I think this kind of like builds on what we were talking about before the break a little bit, and especially with Troy's statements. And just curious, like, your thoughts of the role of the faith community, especially right now when people think of, you know, the far right Christian extremists and what have you, and why it is important to kind of reclaim the cross. What do you think is the role of the faith community right now?
Well, I've come from the Episcopal tradition. I was away from it a good part of my life, but I think the things that my grandmother taught me stayed with me these years, and about people and caring for people. So I think that the most important thing is that the role of a faith-based person is to stand on the edges of the city and make commentary about what the city is doing, kind of like the role of Old Testament prophets. Our job is to say, look, that's wrong. We don't want to be part of government. We don't want to be running government like many of the nationalists want to do. We believe strongly in the separation of church and state, and we would expect that the government operates in a fair and ethical manner consistent with our Constitution and our rule of law. And, that is not happening now. So I think we must first of all resist and speak strongly and then collaborate with other faith groups so that there can be a movement one day within this country that this is right and this is wrong. When I look at my early days of watching the movement on the right, back in the 70s, the anti-abortion people never stopped. It was every single day, month after month, year after year, and that's how Roe v. Wade got overturned. They never quit. So I wonder what would happen if we, who say that we believe in these strong values, were just as vocal and just as organized out there, but there was nothing stopping them whatsoever. So we just sort of, government's kind of doing all right now, so we'll just be quiet. And I was also mentioning to Matt during the break that I think what happened is a lot of clergy have been beaten down, and they got beaten down during COVID when they actually had severe disagreements within their parishes about whether or not they should abide by national health regulations, whether they should be supporting vaccination, whether or not they should support masking, whether or not they're going to go to online services to try to keep people distant, that they got beaten up pretty bad about that. I heard some real horror stories of what went on within so-called our nice Christian parishes when it came to this. And that divide, I think, is still felt today. The fear is out there. I think the fear permeates this entire community. And that's what really started the "On This We Stand" or "Here We Stand" statement was, there's a lot of fear out there. And we don't realize it, but we're all afraid to move because we've seen what happens to people when they speak out. They get mocked, like Bishop Buddy was when she asked the president to care for people who are in need.
That was a courageous thing she did.
And it's also happened to my presiding bishop, Sean Rowe, who said, he said, the Church of the Presidents, of which the Episcopal Church was for many, many years, now must be the Church of the Resistance. And that's going to be a big change for a lot of white-collar Episcopalians in my crowd.
Yeah, I imagine there's some anxiety being produced with a statement like that and some pushback. We've been speaking here with David Cooper, who's former police chief here. He's a reverend. He is organizing a rally on August 2nd at 11 a.m. At Library Mall in Madison, marching with a big cross up to the Capitol to reclaim the cross, to denounce Trump's cruel policies across the board, especially against immigrants, the poor, and the vulnerable, and against Christian nationalism and authoritarianism, and also destroying the environment. Everybody is invited. I feel invited, even though I'm non-Christian. The chief asked me a month ago to join it, and I signed on right away. And so everyone is invited. The phone number here after the break, you can chime in, 855-752-4842, because I'm going to keep the chief here after the break. I do want his views also on the horrible ICE and Marine policing, in quotes, that's been going on in L.A. We'll be right back on the Maggie Dawn Show. The phone number is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Angela and I and the chief will be right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
CBS News Brief. Malcolm Jamal Warner, young Theo Huxtable on The Cosby Show, has drowned while vacationing in Costa Rica. Here he is on the 1980s sitcom.
Instead of acting disappointed because I'm not like you, maybe you can just accept who I am and love me anyway because I'm your son.
Malcolm Jamal Warner was 54. Ex-Kentucky police officer Brett Hankinson was sentenced to nearly 3 years in prison for using excessive force during the raid that killed Breonna Taylor. Taylor's mother, Tamika Palmer, would have liked a longer sentence.
We got something. I don't think it was a fair sentencing, but it was a start.
CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson says that heat dome has staying power.
By the time we get to the end of the week, it's not just the Midwest that is sizzling, but we're going back to really oppressive humidity for the East Coast.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
A 10-game winning streak. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers opening a series tonight against the Mariners in Seattle, trying to keep a 10-game winning streak alive. Milwaukee beat the Dodgers in L.A. yesterday, 6-5, to move into a tie with the Cubs for first place in their division. The Brewers doing it with a roster of no-name players, according to Pat Murphy.
Monasterio stepping up, getting a huge two-out hit, RBI, Perkins. Perkins literally didn't have spring training. And what can you say about Collins? Collins, Vaughn, and Durbin have given us such a lift, but Collins has been the silent hero. He's played great defense, gotten big hits, hitting fourth in the lineup. The kid wasn't going to make the team in spring training unless there was a huge injury, and there was two of them, but he wasn't making the team. He's hitting fourth in our lineup. Vaughn was in AAA last week and couldn't break the lineup on a last place team. So, you know, we're just really fortunate that these guys are gelling and coming together and just, you know, playing hungry.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're looking for a whodunit that takes place in a beautiful setting, here's one of Pete's picks that will fit the bill. Untamed stars Aussie actors Eric Bana and Sam Neill and is set in Yosemite National Park. Bana plays a federal agent who oversees the park alongside state park rangers led by Neill. The first scene, which involves two rock climbers and a dead body, will knock your socks off. Bana's character, Kyle Turner, tracks a killer while dealing with his own demons. Untamed dropped July 17th on Netflix, where all six episodes are available to stream. Wes Anderson fans, listen up, yo. His latest effort, The Phoenician Scheme, will be available to stream later this week. Deadline.com has announced the film will drop on Peacock Friday, July 25th. The film by the director of Rushmore and Bottle Rocket is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes and stars Benicio del Toro, Tom Hanks, Michael Cera, and Scarlett Johansson. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plentiful clouds in the overnight and a light breeze with morning lows of the lower 60s. On Tuesday, some showers and storms rolling in, mostly cloudy skies. Highs will top out in the middle 80s, but the heat index will be close to 90. It's 60 at our studios.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by State Senator Kristen Dasler-Alfheim. We talk biennial budget, the uncertainty over Governor Evers' second run, and how progressives and Democrats move forward in unity here in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, sitting in for Maggie, as is Angela Lang, my co-host today. Angela likes to join me when I invite her. I'm glad she does, because we like kind of pursuing this conversation about where our democracy is. That's the conversation we have every time we're on, Angela,
always.
Isn't it?
Yep, always.
And you can join the conversation, too, at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We have a caller. Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Mark, what you got for us?
Yeah, Matt. Yeah, you may have not heard that I got a clear cancer screening a while back.
That's great. I'm really happy for you. That's tremendous news.
So I'm at the six-month screening thing now. It bears in mind one to think that Roger Williams was actually advocating for separation of church and state back in the mid-17th century, that he didn't think there should be any coercion involved in faith. And as a matter of fact, right now I'm wearing a John Fugelsang slogan T-shirt that ends up with, that talks about John Jews as being a brown-skinned Middle Eastern Jew who was the ultimate woke personality from history. I mean, that his main thing was we're supposed to be taking care of one another rather than just ignoring our brothers and sisters. Because I can't imagine how many Christians there are out there now that are not condemning the alligator at Auschwitz that's going down in Florida.
Yeah,
I'll close with that.
Well, great call, Mark, and thanks as always for your thoughtful calls. I'm going to let Reverend David Cooper, Chief Cooper, respond to that. He is calling on everyone to join him on August 2nd here in Madison at 11 a.m. in Library Mall, marching up with a big wooden cross to the Capitol to protest this terror that Donald Trump is imposing on the weak and vulnerable.
Yeah, well, not by myself. You know, I'm part of a team of four other here that have helped pull this together. But even the five of us, given our ages, we couldn't carry up, so we depend on help. But yeah, I mean, why do those people in Europe get on that rickety those ships and go through all that hardship to come over here to this new country? I mean, they were persecuted. They know what the state can do. And when state and religion gets together, they knew exactly. And that's why we have the Constitution we have. And within that Constitution sits those Bill of Rights, which is very clear, at least to most of us, that we don't want a theocracy. Well, we want a democracy, and we need to stop it from being dismantled. And that's going on as we speak. So, if you're out there and you're thinking, well, this will blow over. Well, you really think so? No. Historically, what have we seen since January? It's gotten worse almost every month. And it's time to say, we resist. We're not going to be part of this.
Yeah, it's not like a weather storm. This is this is something imposed by human beings, and that we as other human beings need to stop. We've got a couple more callers. We've got Joe from Madison. I always like taking Joe's calls.
Great discussion, as always. Just really interesting territory, and I applaud you for starting this march. And there was a previous caller who said we have to make sure, in terms of symbols of the flag or the cross, that they don't belong to one group. They belong to all of us, and all of us get to share in the meaning of those symbols. And I just wanted to throw into the mix, it's not quite pertinent, but in some ways it is. And I remember a story from the early days of protests of the Vietnam War that there were a very small group of women, I think they were from another Mother for Peace, who early in like 64, 65, in wintertime, they were out around the White House protesting with their signs against the Vietnam War. And the story is that Dr. Benjamin Spock saw them out in winter with their boots on, you know, carrying their signs, obviously cold and not a pleasant activity. And he was kind of, if you will, almost shamed into the idea of, if these gals can get out there and, you know, make themselves known about closing the agony of this particular war, well, I, with where I am and what I have, can risk, if you will, all the attention I have at this point, because he was known as the baby doctor, to protest this war. So I offer it as a, you just don't know what's going to turn other people, what's going to make people go, okay, this really is enough, and I have to pick up a flag and start marching too. So anyway, I applaud you for the idea of this, and I'll be there. Thanks very much.
Great, great. Thank you.
Yeah, terrific call, Joe. And I mean, it's true. I mean, as Joe was saying, I mean, Howard Zinn always taught us, Howard Zinn, the author of A People's History of the United States, mm-hmm. you never know who you're going to influence when you're protesting. Yeah. But if you don't protest, you're not going to make any change. You have no hope of making change. And that's why this is such an exciting rally and march that our guest here, David Cooper, Reverend David Cooper, former police chief here in Madison, is doing on August 2nd, 11 o'clock, Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol with a huge cross. It's an interfaith march. People of all faiths and no faiths are invited to attend, as I am, as I will be attending. And so that's, I think, a really important rally. I hope everyone will come who's in range of Madison. You can join the conversation, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we have another caller. Cam from Appleton is on the line. Hey, Cam.
Hey, guys. You can hear me okay, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
Sounds good. Thank you. So I was calling because I am wondering if you guys can offer some advice. I see right now in Rockland County, New York, where there is a lawsuit that's trying to go forward right now regarding the data from the 2024 election, possibly having it been manipulated. And it's leaning pretty heavily data-wise into, yes, it was manipulated. But the courts right now are entertaining or hearing out the motion to dismiss that was brought forward by the Rockland County Election Commission, in which they state, well, we don't need to really investigate this, even though you show evidence of it, because the election's over. You had 10 days after the election to contest this per our rules. So when a system like that fails people, what do you guys recommend people do to change that or try to progress it or strong arm it? Because
yeah, well, thanks. Appreciate the call, Cam. You know, what we need to do right now is oppose these policies of the Trump administration that are so cruel. That is, those of us who are at liberty, and I mean liberty, to protest these changes. Because if you're an undocumented person, your risk of protesting is astronomically higher than mine. I'm a U.S. citizen. I'm white-skinned. The odds that I'm going to be abducted by ICE and sent to a prison, either in Alligator Auschwitz or in who knows, El Salvador, are pretty slim. But if you're undocumented, you've got a lot of risk. So I understand if you're not going to want to protest. The rest of us who are citizens have an obligation, I believe, to protest. And that's why I have Chief Cooper, David Cooper, Reverend Cooper here, because he's planning this protest on August 2nd at 11 o'clock in Madison at Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol in an interfaith protest. We've got another call. I appreciated that call, Cam. We've got a call from Mike from Muscaday. Mike, you're on the air.
Yes, I appreciate the dialogue and understand that there's some issues with abortion, and I'd like to address the Reverend in regards to abortion. And it states in the Bible that the Lord hates the hands that shed innocent blood. I'd like to have a little rebuttal with the Reverend in regards to that. How could he speak out of both sides of his mouth and call himself a Reverend? And I want to ask the other thing, too.
Well, certainly. Well, I believe it's a woman's choice. And I think from that, there are a number of of restrictions that I'll buy into regarding, you know, choosing babies, gender or late-term abortions or things. I believe that these are things that can be worked out by the medical community. So, you know, we're not going to agree on this, but that's how I see the goodness of what I believe in my faith. Now, you may see that entirely different, and, you know, can we hold these two things in opposite and still collaborate on other issues? I think that would be the challenge for us, and I would hope we could do that.
Thanks for the call, Mike. I mean, there are also, and I'm not a biblical scholar like the Reverend is here, but there's love thy neighbor and welcome the stranger into your home. There are other passages in the Bible that speak more directly to the issues that are at hand right now, especially with this war on immigrants that Donald Trump is waging. And it's one of the reasons, one of the causes for which the Reverend Cooper is planning this rally on August 2nd in Madison. 11 o'clock at Library Mall on State Street, marching up to the Capitol with a big wooden cross. He and others there will be helping to carry, and everybody is invited, not just Christians. It's interfaith, not just people who believe. You know, I'm the resident atheist Jew here on the air, and I'm delighted to be participating.
Well, good thing is God still loves all of us.
Well, I'll take that as insurance.
right, exactly. So maybe some sparks will come from people coming together, and we'll be moved to do other things. You know, people say, well, why the cross? Well, then do something not with the cross, but with the same issues like that, where we certainly, as human beings, we should be opposed to cruelty, and especially cruelty to children. And, you know, I always thought that as a young boy growing up in America, I remember studying the UN was just being formed in the 50s. And I remember thinking that this is really good that our government is doing something like this to helping other people in the world. And isn't that a great national policy that people will see that we're good people and we try to help people. So we dig wells and we send food to people who are starving, and we give medical treatment, and we share our technology. I think, gosh, isn't that really good? Isn't that what people of faith, not just people, good people do for other people?
We're not doing it now, though.
No, hey, we're not doing that now. Yeah.
We've got a couple minutes. I wanted to start the conversation, and if you can just stay after the break to finish it. We got a call from Gary from Madison, or a text wanting you to talk about what ICE is doing, and I had teased this for the last half hour and haven't gotten to pose the question to you. So just briefly, until the break, what was your reaction? What's your reaction to what ICE is doing, for one?
Well, it's outrageous. I run a blog. I've done this for 12, 13 years, called improvingpolice.blog. I've got over 1,600 posts. The last few have been about ICE. This is, if there was, in my perspective of being in criminal justice and being in policing for 33 years of my life, this is the dismantling of the democracy. This is how it starts. When we permit people with arrest powers to go masked, unidentifiable, and arrest people without due process, we've got a real, real bad problem. Now, granted, there's things that could happen to make immigration better, and I certainly strongly believe a person who comes in our country to commit a crime ought to go back, but we need to care for the people who are here seeking refuge.
We'll be right back with Chief Cooper, Reverend Cooper. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild, joined by Angela Lang. Number to call, 855-752-4842. We'll be right back.
Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them? Don't waste another night's sleep. Call me at 715-496-0710 so I can show you the tools and information you need. We offer radio, digital, and streaming services that will help you stand out. With my education and experience, I'll help you create a solid plan tailored for your business. Because cookie cutters are for the holidays, not for business needs. Call today and let those uncertainties melt away. 715-496-0710.
At WFHR and WIRI, our advertisers are part of our family, so come join the family by calling Ashley today at 715-496-0710.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's up north camping. I'm here in studio. I'm Matt Rothschild, joined by my guest host, Angela Lang. And our guest for this hour, who's been nice enough to stay all hour, is David Cooper, a former chief of police in Madison and a Episcopal reverend, spiritual leader here in Madison. He's planning a rally on August 2nd. At 11 a.m. in Madison at Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol with the big cross, trying to recapture the cross, confront Christian nationalism and authoritarianism, denounce Trump administration policies of cruelty, and affirm some positive values of truth and justice and love. Who could be against that? And we are talking a little bit about the former chief's attitude about what he saw in Los Angeles with ICE and in the Marines. I didn't ask you about the Marines. What was your reaction when Trump sent the Marines in?
Let me just say, you know, I'm part of a group of five other people or four other people in putting this together. It's not all about me, but I'm not championing today this issue. But yes, you're talking to a former Marine here. My days of the Marine, we were not trained to deal with civic disorder. Mm-hmm. In many cases, state National Guards have been. They have been trained, but to put combat Marines in Los Angeles is a just another political act to enrage people and to fear, get people to be afraid. I think that, you know, I think the former chief of Los Angeles in a recent article talked about that the whole way of working together, it just isn't there. And he was saying that, well, as a military person, you say to your partner, you say, cover me means you shoot anything that moves so you can move. When we in police say, cover me, it means just watch out for my back as I'm moving here.
Well, there could be some bad miscommunication.
And
there
could be some bad miscommunications. And just, it's not organized to do that. I mean, that's generally, you know, the Civil National Guard, which would have been nice to have in Washington on January 6th.
Yeah, that's the irony. Yeah. I heard Secretary Holman the other day talking about how great all the ICE employees are. And I wanted to get your reaction because I was reading an article that said a lot of the folks employed by ICE have been not able to become police officers.
Yeah. After our Sunday assembly, a group of us got together talking about people who are going to come to help us during the march. And the question was, you know, she said, why are they masked? And I said, well, there's probably two reasons they're masked. Number one is, could be that, and the obvious one is that they don't want to be identified. And why don't they want to be identified could be the second reason, because they're ashamed. They're ashamed of what's going on. It is beyond my, I'm just shocked by the idea that we could allow somebody to do arrests with masks on, without a uniform, without an identification, without a rule like we've had in local policing that when you're asked, you have to identify yourself and present credentials. That is, it's a real bad sign. And I think that you'll find, if I could do a study of the recent people hired by ICE, I think you'll find my hypothesis would be there are people who could not be hired by police or are fired police officers for misconduct, and now they're rounding up vulnerable people in our country. It is, to me, it's a kind of a Ku Klux Klan. Those are people who ran masks because they didn't want to be identified and did things in which they would probably be embarrassed about.
Chief Cooper, you are 87 years old. What keeps driving you to stay involved in this search for justice?
Well, the good Lord has given me health, so I think as long as I'm able to stay vertical, I'll be out there and still continuing to write a blog and press about what I think policing should be in a democracy, and I'll continue to do that. That blog has had 750,000 views over the last 12, 13 years from 134 different countries, 1,600 posts now. So it's.
And what's the title of the blog again?
Improvingpolice.blog.
Okay, there you go.
And today is all about masked police.
Mm. So if you're listening, you can go to that. I want to reiterate that the Reverend David Cooper, Chief Cooper, and his colleagues, cohorts, are planning this very important rally on August 2nd, 11 o'clock, in Madison, Library Mall, marching up to the Capitol in an interfaith protest against Trump's cruelty and authoritarianism, against Christian nationalism, and in favor of peace and justice and love and protecting the earth. All positive things. Chief, thanks so much for being in the studio all hour and spending time with your valuable insights for us on the Maggie Dawn Show.
If not now, when?
There you go. if not me, who? So there you have it. We'll be right back after the break on the Maggie Dawn Show. Angela and I will be talking with Representative Jenna Jacobson, who is running for state Senate against Howard Markline in this effort to flip the Senate to Democratic control and more responsive representation in that district and in the Assembly and state Senate here at the state Capitol. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Happy to take your calls, 855-752-4842 after the break, and we'll be right back.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. The Air Force is investigating a close call between a big bomber and a passenger jet. CBS News transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve has the story.
As this giant Air Force B-52 bomber was doing a flyover marking the start of the North Dakota State Fair Friday night, Delta Flight 3788 was on approach to land at the nearby Minot Airport. A passenger recorded the pilot's announcement after Flight 3788 eventually landed.
Given his speed, it was a military, I don't know how fast they were going, but they were a lot faster than us. I felt it was the safest thing to do to turn behind it, so... Sorry about the aggressive maneuver.
There were 80 people on board the regional jet from Minneapolis, operated by SkyWest.
Two U.S. citizens have been barred from leaving China. The China Foreign Ministry confirms one is a Wells Fargo banker and cites a criminal case. Correspondent Anna Corrin has more from Hong Kong.
There